praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we can come together, Lord. Thank you that you have given your word to us. And Lord, you have given everything that you provided for us, Lord. We are grateful. And we go to your word, Lord, to recognize and to celebrate this day in which you were crucified. We thank you for what you went through for us. We thank you for what you achieved that day. We thank you that today, Lord, we can benefit from all those things that you provided for us. As we come to you in faith, as we come to you believing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we are going to celebrate Jesus' crucifixion today. Okay. You know, that seems something almost strange to celebrate a crucifixion. Okay. Jesus died on the cross, a terrible agony, after being beaten and being disfigured. You know, that seems something that produced sorrow and grief and not a celebration. And that's the way traditional religion took it for many generations, many centuries. See, but this is based on the idea that it actually is scripturally wrong. The idea that Jesus is still, okay, suffering for the sins of people. And that's not the case. The Bible is very clear about that. And so there is nothing to grieve today about that, but to instead be grateful and acknowledge his love and his sacrifice for us. But today, it's a completely different story, and we have to come and understand what is taking place today, as well as what's taking place when that crucifixion takes place. Okay. It's called, after all, Good Friday, not Bad Friday. There is a reason for that, okay? Because that made all the difference. It was probably the greatest event that took place in humanity, okay? And so we had to understand, you know, that Good Friday is good because Jesus died on the cross for us. But the key concept to remember about that, okay, that if there would be not a spiritual world and that we are connected with that world and what he was doing was having an effect there, would have been like a crucifixion for many others, and many were killed that way in those days, okay? But that is a completely different thing, okay? There is a spiritual dimension, a spiritual world. We are spiritual beings, and we are temporarily trapped into this physical body for a purpose. Jesus' death, okay, resulted in something that took place in the spiritual world. It's called the greatest change, in which righteousness was exchanged for sin. The other way around, you know, we gave him our sins and he gave us his righteousness. When we understand that, I mean, how can anybody make that kind of a deal? I mean, for us, yes, but for Jesus implies something that is amazing, is unbelievable, is something that is beyond our understanding and our imagination. And we are going to go a bit more into that, okay? But, you know, that wasn't the end of the story, you know, but establish a completely new relationship, a new covenant between us and God. Okay. Completely different from anything that happened in the past. Okay. And, you know, that had enormous benefits, awesome benefits for us. We had to realize that, okay, and respond to that, okay, by gratitude, by loving him for what he did, what he went through for us, because that was definitely out of love for us. He cared more about us than himself. Praise God that he made possible for us. And the reason is that he could see the impact that he would have had both on himself and on us. So we are going to see, you know, some of the things. I'm not going to go too much, although I'm going to cover some, okay, the physical event that took place, because they are important, and often those are the only things that are stressed. But instead, the real thing that is important is what happened in the spiritual dimension. Okay? And that's really the thing. Jesus was ridiculed, stripped, spit on, beaten, flogged, and disfigured. I mean, placed was a crown of thorn was put on his head. I mean, you know, but going all through that, there was definitely awful. And no matter how anybody can make shows that are awful, it's going to never even come close to that. But, you know, Jesus, all through that, remained silent. That should tell us something. That should tell us the strength, the inner strength that he had, not to be affected by what's going on to the point of manifesting what he was going through. Isaiah, in chapter 53, verse 7, says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was prophesying what would take place. Okay. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before the shearer, is silent. So he opened not his mouth. See, he was the Lamb of God. We sang the song tonight. You know, he offered his life to pay for the sins of the whole world. In all generations, all the time. All in that particular event was taken care of. Wasn't just for some special people, as some believe. Was for everybody. Everybody who would accept it and recognize and believe in what he did. That's the difference. Okay. The one that miss for one reason or another, and I'm going to not go into that, miss that was certainly not because God had planned them for them to not to miss it, because God plans for everybody to be saved. It's very clear from the scripture. He wants every one of us to come into the fullness of a relationship with him, because he loves us. And because he sent Jesus to achieve that goal, that purpose. Praise God, who he loved greatly. Praise God. So you see, he took all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, and transferred to himself, and transferred his righteousness to everybody who believes in him. Okay. The only time when Jesus cried out was when that took place. Do you see the importance, you see the impact that that had on him, even on him, that he was able to stand all those physical atrocities that he was going through and it was not affected. His body was evidently in pain and everything else, but he did not affect his soul and his spirit. Not just his spirit, his soul too. But when his soul was affected is when the sins of the world came on him. And says there in, Mark 15:34, and when in the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabbath shamai. You know, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the time when he was separated from the Father. And that was the greatest things that he actually feared and he struggled before to really meet, prepare himself for that. He knew very well what this was going to happen. He prophesied about it, was prophesied by many others, okay? But that pain, the spiritual pain was far too much for him not to react. His soul was affected by that. Okay? He had always, from the creation, before even, been in communion with the Father. And that communion was broken at that time. He took our sins and became sin for us. Praise God. Okay, there are no words to explain or to try to describe the suffering that took place at that time. Okay, he was fulfilling David's prophecy in Psalm 22, verse 1, describing this, you know, an old psalm describing the crucifixion of Jesus, but starts with just those words that Jesus, you know, cried out at that moment. And he was fulfilling, even in that, the prophecy. He was doing exactly what the Father wanted. And by doing that, actually was, making sure that we understand, that we know what was taking place. Anybody that knew the word, they knew even in the Old Testament, should knew the psalm. They knew it all, the psalm by heart. And he's there just shouting out. At the moment when all the things that were described there in the Psalm 22 were taking place, you know, shouting the same word that David pronounced that day in which he, under the anointing of God, prophesied. This is the amazing things that no other religion ever has, nor even come close to. This is not a religion that we have. Praise God. Who wants any religion? Jesus came to destroy religion and establish a relationship between us and God, fulfilling all the requirements, but not longer submitting to the law. Now, I'm not going to, I can't, you know, tonight go to all the theological aspect of these things, so I'm not even going to try, and I don't want to keep you here for a long time. But I want to at least stress on things here that are important. You see, he proclaimed his mission finally after that he is, you know, shouted to God, why did he, forsaking me? You know, in John chapter 19, verse 30. See, I had to jump from place to place because these are the key point from my perspective of what took place that day. Or the moments in which really things are explained and put together for us to be able to connect with that reality, which is the spiritual reality Okay. He says, for when Jesus has received the sour wine, the vinegar, you know, he said, it is finished. And bowing down his head, he gave up his spirit. And so this is the time in which he is declared and proclaimed the fact that his job was finished. What he was sent for, he had accomplished. He has finished the whole thing. Now, what happened physically there is true, was finished. The thing is, the impact of that is not finished. The impact of that in the spiritual world is eternal. It's just today as true, as valid, and powerful as that day from before, from the beginning of the world to now and in the future. Anyone, they connect to that event, is transformed, is empowered, is made a new creation. And the sin that was introduced in the world by Adam is dealt with. And we are set free from that bondage. And from that moment on, we are called to walk the way Adam should have walked. It's really the way Jesus walked in connection with the Father, in a personal, ongoing, continuous relationship with the Father, guided in our walk down here, instructed, helped, empowered. This is, and for that, to make sure, he made available himself through the Holy Spirit, by sending the Holy Spirit that had not been available before the same way to everyone who would receive him. That is often fantastic, unbelievable almost, things that our mind cannot grasp in terms of the implication, in terms of the ability to actually make a connection with that reality and to be able to actually manifest it. Our, I was going to say, retarded mind have really a difficult time accepting something like that because it goes contrary to all the things that we are used down on earth. See, he did something that is not of this earth. This is super, is heavenly, is supernatural. Hallelujah. So from now, this moment on, I'm going to focus, okay, on the huge impact that the spiritual thing that took place then is having on us, for us. Consider, okay, what the eyes of the bystander on those day, in that day, couldn't see. They saw all the physical thing. But that was nothing compared to what's going on in the spirit. Okay? We can understand it. We can explain those things happening physically in a way that, you know, opens up, remove the veil that was broken, separating us from God, so that we should be able to connect with God and see in that dimension without fear when we approach him in the right mind by faith in what Jesus did and not in our ability to do the right thing. What we do should not be the result of something that we want to do. Should be the result of something that we are. Because you have been transformed. Because we have been empowered. Because we have been cleansed from iniquity and sin. Praise God. See, let me start here, understanding the first things. Okay, today, Jesus is not suffering okay? But he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? I mean, that's a big difference from what appeared on the earth. Okay. So in Hebrews 12:2 says very clearly, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And this is where our faith should be anchored. Okay. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. So he is saying clearly, this is how Jesus held strength as he was going through the physical thing. He was looking at the joy set before him. He was an example for us what we had to do when we go through difficult time. Where we had the word, where we had the promise of God, and the promise of God shows this, you know, where we are going and what is ours. That should give us strength to stand firm in belief and not be shaken by the circumstances we go through. He's our example. And he's the one that, you know, we not only benefit from, but we learn to walk in his way. That's what has to happen. This is our goal. This is our purpose. And say, well, you know, it was Jesus. No. That's wrong thinking. He was operating like any one of us because he has given up all the divine prerogative and was working and operating as a man. That's what the word says. So what we could do is what he could do when we are born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, because he has completed his mission and, you know, fulfilled all the prophecy of the Messiah, this Jew knew what he was doing, and he was despising the shame. That means minimizing what was going through, the pain, the suffering, the abuse that he was being exposed to. When we have the proper perspective about reality, we can stand strong in our place without being shaken by the circumstance that we may be in. These are times in this world that is a fallen world are negative. Praise the Lord. He endured the cross. That means, you know, he just went through it and wasn't affected by it. Okay. He endured even the separation from the Father. Not as a victim, but as a victor in his own choice. He chose to follow that. He chose to get the path. He had free will just as we do. But it was a decision that he made very clearly. A position he stood for. He despised the value, the pain and the shame and all the other things. But he looked at the joy that was set before him. We had so many promises from God that we can look at for all our life to give us strength no matter what we're going through. Because God's presence, God's Holy Spirit, God's power is in us. And those who have that kind of relationship with him, they can face anything, just like Stephen did when he was stoned. He was shining like an angel. Wasn't affected. They were killing him by stoning. Was not affected. He was, of all of them who had victory, was him, because Jesus was standing before him. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we had to start moving out of living in this physical world and start living in here just as pilgrims, just as passing by, just sometime it's going to finish for all of us. And it's not a big deal if we are in the right connection, if you are connected with God. Doesn't matter what's going on here. We can have victory, we can have strength, we can have peace as we do what? Looking at Him. Now, looking at, you know, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay. He achieved that day the greatest victory that the world, looking at it, thought it was the greatest defeat. See how deceiving the physical images or the physical appearances can be. Just exactly the opposite. Never anybody achieved that before. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, in being found in human form, I'm using the English version, you know, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and even on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, the Father. Hallelujah. You see, this is really, you know, this is how he was exalted, by humbling himself and doing exactly what God had told, wanted him to do, what God has sent him for. You know, we should learn to do the same. When God tells us to do something, even if it appears impossible, even if it appears difficult, even if it's not going to be very pleasant, if you do what God wants, you're going to have the greatest benefit and the greatest, you know, blessing that you ever imagined. Don't go by the physical appearances, because God never works according to that. We should walk by faith, not by sight. This is what we are called to. This is what the righteous do. If you are righteous, to the degree that you are righteous, you are not going to walk by the physical circumstances. You are going to walk by the spiritual truth which are in the Word of God, from which all the strength and the power and the ability and the victory comes to you. And it's going to manifest in God's glory working in your life, from faith to faith, transforming you the way you were before to the way more and more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. I mean, this is really what God expects from us. But we have to respond to that. You know, it just doesn't happen by itself. He was highly exalted, past tense. So he is exalted today. Many don't feel he's too exalted. They don't even understand him, and they really reject him because they are blind. They have been blinded by the enemy. They have been blinded by their physical senses. We have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Jesus has achieved the highest place under in the universe, just under God. And we are going to be achieving better than anyone, better than any success in the world, if we obey the Lord and do the things He's calling us to do, because He has a plan for me and for you. And when you are in that plan, who care about anything else? You got it. You got all that you need. Hallelujah. The world is clearly showing us that. You know, it's amazing how blind we can be. How blind we can be made by the enemy, because he's the one that blinds us. Okay. The Jews, they knew the word. Their way, anyway. Rejected him. The disciples who had been with him the previous day. Okay. And Jesus had gone through in detail things to explain what was going to happen. Not only that, but was also, you know, teaching and helping them to understand and to what to expect. Describing in detail everything from a spiritual point of view. You know, in the Gospel of John, 5 chapters are covering up just for the Last Supper between Jesus and the disciples. 5 chapters. All the other gospel, only 20 verses or something like that. All of the other 3 gospels. John was speaking with that about from from chapter 13 to chapter 17, the whole thing. I would say that's an important topic, important subject. There is Jesus leaving and just making sure, you know, remember that. We should go to those, the part of the Bible, to see the last word of Jesus. And to really try to grasp them, try to apply to them for ourselves, try to benefit from it, because this is what was on his heart at that moment, and he knew that we needed to know. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, he described everything. And one of the things he did, you know, that to, you know, remember what took place in those days, the following days, and on the Sunday when he was resurrected and established, if you want, what, you know, we are doing today and on Sunday. Okay. You know, bring us to remembrance. You see, it wasn't just a question of, you know, creating a magic formula, like some people think. Is that he wanted us to remember, because we need to remember to appropriate the things that he did. We had to be, has to be very clear within us. It's not a magic formula. It's really that we had to connect with the spiritual event that took place, because when we connect with our spirit, with the spiritual event that took place, then, you know, this is going to be transferred to our soul, and we are going to receive from God. Praise the Lord. Okay. Spiritual event is not limited to the time in which it takes place. Today is just as good as before. The word says, you know, by stripes we were healed, and that applies to us today, even if we are not healed, but we can receive it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But while we do that, okay, with our spirit, you know, spirit, that is already there. But we had to connect by faith, by believing, with the spiritual reality to make it manifest in the physical body. See, all that was prophesied. In Isaiah 53, chapter 4, says, verse 4 says, you know, surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pain. Yet with esteem and plagued, smitten of God and afflicted. See, this is past, is gone. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement was peace was upon him, and by his wound we are healed today. Praise the Lord. See, that's what he did, and that's what is available to us. Okay. For our transgression, so our sins were dealt with. This is the way it happened. That's what why he was going through that. Okay. Our iniquities were, you know, bruised for that. Okay. All the evil in us is dealt with when we apply Jesus' blood to our existence. He was punished in our place so that we don't need to be punished. And so that's the way we are made whole. Okay. Following verses and so on, you know, talking about the fact that he, you know, Jehovah made meet in him the iniquity of us all. So everything was dealt with. And when he was fulfilled that, God, you know, and Jesus has accomplished the mission that God had given him. What we had to do, the instruction that he gave us in the Last Supper, is to remember it. Is to remember so that we don't forget. You see, the problem is we are so caught up with the physical things and our circumstances that those things are the things affecting us instead of what happened then. And that's not what has to happen. That is not walking by faith. Walking by faith means that we go by what happened then, not what we see now. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. What the Word says, what we see in the Word, what the truth that Jesus has achieved, that's how we judge things. Praise the Lord. See, that wasn't, you know, a victim. Jesus was not a victim of circumstances. He was made a voluntary sacrifice, offered his body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, so that we may be transformed instead of being conformed to the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We can truly rejoice about that today, because without that happening, you know, we wouldn't be here. Hallelujah. See, and it was very clear to Jesus what had to happen when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and praying, you know, the first time, you know, and so on. I'm not going to go through the detail of that, you know. But what he said is, you know, the second time, Matthew 26:42, again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." You see, he was making a decision there. He was taking a stand. He knew exactly what he was encountering at that moment. And he went forth without being moved by anything, knowing everything that was going to take place. Okay. And finally, the third time and so on, you know, at the third time said, you know, "Are you sleeping? Are you just taking a rest? Are you taking a nap?" So they were so spiritually understanding of what was going on that they were just tired. Maybe he had too much supper. Quite likely. So, I'm going to pass on, you know. But this is why, you know, when that took place, okay, and you, when Jesus cried, you know, my God, why has forsaken me? This is really when that separation, that break between him and the Father took place so that the sins would be transferred to him. That is called the greatest change. Okay. The greatest change is given in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says clearly, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are born again and you are believing what he has done and trusting in what he has done, you can say today, I am the righteousness of God. We should say that. Okay? We should proclaim that so that angels and, you know, people should know that. And they say, you are crazy, but they are crazy. Not you. You are speaking the truth. Let's say it together. I am the righteousness of God. But you have to believe it. You know that you're going to just speak in something that doesn't mean anything. So it has to come up with your faith speaking. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, he doing that, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So you see, this is the thing. And that is how the blessing comes to us. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles, upon everybody. Okay, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. See, the Holy Spirit coming on us, transforming us, empowering us, guiding us, you know, was promised in the Old Testament, and that was being fulfilled and is available today for anyone that call on Jesus. But us to receive it by faith, that means taking it by faith. It's a decision that we had to make. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with this. Jesus established a new covenant, a new relationship between us and God. This is not just a question of information that we get to have. It's a question of having the experience of the benefit here and now and later for eternity. Okay? As we grow by this transformation that took place, as we offer our body a living sacrifice, apply the word of God to us. Okay? And we grow from faith, to receive, to appropriate forgiveness, deliverance, overcoming sin, healing, eternal life, communion with God, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and power to work on this earth. All those things, all those wonderful things, awesome things, are for us. He has provided for us. So we should start rejoicing. Okay? He said it is finished. He said it's accomplished. Hallelujah. Okay. God has provided all the needs that you have already. You already have them as a born-again believer in your spirit. And the only thing you had to do is to manifest. All the fruit of the Spirit are yours. If you have the Spirit of God inside you, are there. And if you believe, you're going to manifest them. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, you know, self-control. That's the one, a good one. Are you with me yet? See, I heard lots of people, we had to work to get the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. Thus, an apple tree works to produce apples. Hello? So should the fruit of the Spirit, have to work to come out from somebody that has the Spirit inside them? That seems to me is crooked theology. Wouldn't you say? It's based on the flesh that doesn't want to submit to God. Praise the Lord. We are not sad today. We are rejoicing. We are grateful. We are excited. We are wanting to just go all the way with Jesus. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. He loves us, and we love him back. Because what he has done for us is the best things that we can even dream about. It's more than when we can think or dream about. Okay? In 2 Peter chapter 1, you know, verse 3 says, and this is, we finish with that, that his divine power has given to us all things. Can you say all things? Okay, that pertain to life and godliness. Through what? The knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. Okay. By which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Let's say together, exceedingly great and precious promises. Okay. Having as, you know, that through this we may be partaker of the divine nature. Okay. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Hallelujah. This is all by faith. Everything that God does in us is by faith, by us believing the word, by us believing what he has done, by us taking what he has made available to us. Let's pray together. Let's rejoice together. Let's thank him together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. Thank you, Lord, for directing me, giving me the Holy Spirit to guide me, to give us revelation, to give us strength, to give us power, and to give us the ability to have victory, receiving the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.